Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Welcome, welcome to CBS Mornings on this Tuesday. I'm Gayle King.
I'm Tony DeCoppo.
And I'm Vladimir Jutier.
We're going to begin with breaking news on the investigation into the January 6th assault on the Capitol. CBS News and the Washington Post have obtained White House records of President Trump's activities that day, and they reveal a nearly eight-hour gap in entries in his call log and his daily diary. This gap raises big questions about what the president was doing at the time and whether he was using a so-called burner phone, maybe a couple of them. Those are disposable and untraceable. Chief Election and Campaign Correspondent Robert Costa, this is his reporting, along with Bob Woodward of The Washington Post, and Robert joins us now. Bob, good to see you. You break another big story here. Good morning.
Good morning. We have obtained 11 pages of internal White House records from the day of the attack that were turned over to the January 6th committee. They show for the first time a detailed and official account of Trump's phone calls and behind-the-scenes activities that day. They also notably contain a gap in the official records during the assault. Something is missing, since the gap stands in contrast to extensive public reporting about his calls at the time.
As chaos engulfed the Capitol building on January 6th, President Trump spoke repeatedly on the phone with allies and supporters, some of whom urged him to put an end to the violence. But none of those calls are reflected in the 11 pages of those White House records for January 6th given to the House Select Committee. There is a massive 7-hour and 37-minute gap in calls from 11:17 a.m. to 6:54 p.m., which includes the most violent period of the attack. CBS News has confirmed at least two calls during the attack that do not appear on the phone log or the daily diary. One call from Trump to Utah Republican Mike Lee, and another call to Trump from House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy, who described it to Nora O'Donnell by phone as the violence was unfolding. The committee is now investigating whether the president and top aides used so-called burner or disposable phones to avoid scrutiny of their calls during that time. The logs do show several incoming and outgoing calls on the morning of January 6th, including from Rudy Giuliani and former President Trump's chief strategist, Steve Bannon. At 8:37 a.m., Trump spoke with Bannon, who sources say told him to call Vice President Mike Pence and urge him to block certification of the election. Trump later did phone Pence, failing to persuade him. But that call is not listed in the records. There is a listing at 11:17 a.m. The president talked on a phone call to an unidentified person. CBS News has learned the Pence call was in that time frame. There's also a lengthy gap in records of the former president's movements during the attack, as recorded in his daily diary. At 1:21 p.m., the records note, the president met with his valet. That notation signifies the president's return to the Oval Office from the rally. The next entry isn't until 4:03. The president went to the Rose Garden, it reads, where he participated in a video message to supporters.
This was a fraudulent election, but we can't play into the hands of these people. We have to have peace. So go home.
Bob Woodward said uncovering former President Trump's actions in those nearly 8 hours will be a key part of the committee's investigation.
These records seem to have disappeared. This is the day when they are protesting the January 6th effort to certify who's president. And the certification was that Joe Biden won. And 1,000 people attacked the Capitol right at that time that there's this gap. Who was he talking to? What was he doing?
Last night, Trump said in his statement, quote, "I have no idea what a burner phone is. To the best of my knowledge, I have never even heard the term," end quote. A Trump spokesperson said that Trump had nothing to do with the records and assumed any and all of his phone calls were recorded and preserved.
Oh, boy, Bob, it's an unusual morning when you're saying President of the United States and burner phone in the same sentence. It's also an unusual morning when you're talking about a federal judge in California ruling just yesterday that former President Trump, quote, likely committed, end quote, multiple crimes in his efforts to stop Congress from certifying President Biden's 2020 election victory. What more can you tell us about that?
Tony, it's a very serious statement. Judge David Carter ruled that he found it, quote, more likely than not, unquote, that Trump and his legal advisor, John Eastman, engaged in criminal conduct as they pushed Pence in Congress to hold off on certification. Carter wrote, quote, "If Dr. Eastman and President Trump's plan had worked, it would have permanently ended the peaceful transition of power, undermining American democracy and the Constitution." He added, "If the country does not commit to pursuing accountability for those responsible, the court fears January 6 will repeat itself." In a statement, Eastman's attorney said his client has an unblemished record as an attorney and disagrees with the judge's findings.
The investigation continues at least until the midterms. Bob, thank you very much.
Thank you.
A new round of talks to try to end the war in Ukraine began this morning in Istanbul, Turkey. In the meantime, Russian troops continue air attacks on Ukraine's capital, Kyiv. The mayor of a nearby town says it has been liberated by Ukrainian forces, but the U.S. cannot confirm that. Holly Williams and her crew found that advances by Ukraine's troops are no guarantee of safety for the people living there. This morning, she is in central Ukraine. That's about 100 miles west of the capital. Holly, can I just say I'm very worried about your safety, too. It's always good to see you this morning to bring us the stories. But I'm worried, too, about you.
Good morning, Gail. My crew and I were all fine. Ukraine says its priority at those talks this morning is a ceasefire. It wants to evacuate civilians from towns and cities that have been besieged by Russian forces.
The towns of Irpin, just north of the capital, Kyiv, and Trostianets to the east have been recaptured from the Russians, according to the Ukrainian military. In many places, Russian ground forces are stalled and taking heavy losses. The occupiers are pushed away from Irpin and Kyiv, said Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky in a video message last night. But he also said it's too soon to talk about safety. That's exactly what we found when we tried to visit the town of Makariv yesterday. Ukrainian forces say they recaptured it last week.
It looks as though this area is still getting shelled by the Russians.
But as we approached its outskirts with a convoy of Ukrainian troops, they told us to get out and take cover because the Russians were watching from the sky.
So the Ukrainians are saying that there is a drone overhead and they want us to spread out to be less of a target.
Back to the cars.
Back to the cars.
We turned back, traveling at high speed. The Ukrainians now saying four Russian drones were overhead. But then they ordered us out again.
Get out of the car.
And into the forest to take cover.
We're hearing shelling. There's one just now.
Many of Makariv's residents were evacuated earlier this month. Everything was shaking like this, said one woman. The planes were flying so low, we thought they'd shoot our house. But not everyone made it to safety. This security camera video reportedly shows an elderly couple killed by Russian artillery.
To the cars.
Let's go.
We eventually left Makariv. But if this is what liberation looks like...
We go full speed, do you copy?
Ukraine's fight for freedom may be long and dangerous.
The Russians have shown over and over during this war that when they can't take control of towns and cities, they'll still pummel them with missiles, airstrikes and shelling at the cost of civilian lives. Vlad.
Holly Williams in Ukraine. Please stay safe, you and your crew. Thank you for your reporting. President Biden says he won't apologize for saying Russia's president cannot remain in power. He said yesterday, it's an opinion, not a policy goal. The statement Mr. Biden ad-libbed during a visit to Poland on Saturday caused a diplomatic uproar. Weijia Jiang has more on the president's response.
I'm not walking anything back.
President Biden stood by his controversial comment about Vladimir Putin.
For God's sake, this man cannot remain power.
Insisting the words were personal.
I was expressing the moral outrage that I feel, and I make no apologies for it.
And not a shift in U.S. policy toward a Russian regime change.
Nobody believes we're going to take down. I was talking about taking down Putin. Nobody believes that.
The president was asked if he was confident Putin himself saw it that way.
I don't care what he thinks. Look, here's the deal. He's going to do what he's going to do.
Putin's top spokesman called Mr. Biden's comment alarming and said only the Russian people will decide who is in power.
This is completely unacceptable. It's not for the United States president to decide who is going to be in, who is the president of the Russian Federation.
He also issued a warning to NATO.
We do afraid of NATO's getting closer to our borders with its military infrastructure. Please take care of that. Don't push us into the corner.
President Biden dismissed criticism that his remarks further provoked Putin and that they weakened NATO's alliance. In fact, the Pentagon just announced that the U.S. has sent 6 Navy fighter aircrafts to Germany called Growlers. They will not be used over Ukraine, but instead to beef up NATO's defense. The equipment can be used to confuse enemy radar in the sky. Tony?
All right, a lot of military gear heading that direction. Weijia, thank you very much.
Weather is being blamed for a massive pileup on a Pennsylvania interstate that left at least 3 people dead and sent close to 24 others to the hospital. People were dodging out of control cars as they crashed into other, look at this, crashed into vehicles on Interstate 81. This happened yesterday. As many as 60 vehicles were involved in the pileup. Authorities say that a snow squall caused near zero visibility in the area northeast of Harrisburg. For more on the conditions that led to this deadly crash and what's ahead, let's bring in meteorologist Jim Cantore. He's at the Weather Channel's global headquarters in Atlanta. Jim, the pictures from this accident are just crazy.
Oh.
So it seems a brief snow squall can cause a lot of damage.
Absolutely. And the sound, Gail, the cars crunching together. Let me show you this. Guys, when we get a snow squall warning, you got to take these serious because we're talking about visibility is going down to zero. We're talking about, especially with the temperatures, all that snow accumulating on the roads, and you can see them. We had tons of snow squall warnings yesterday, and this, believe it or not, happened about 30 miles to the south of the one we had the previous month, which was a 50-car pileup. All right, let's get into the severe. 3 big days, all right, Tuesday night, Wednesday into Thursday. We got another outbreak on our hands and through here, Wednesday, of course, being the big day. We get started tonight, Dallas, Oklahoma City, you're in this. We may see thunderstorms a little farther north with this outbreak, so we're talking about Des Moines, maybe even Kansas City. The whole line just keeps on going as we work our way into Wednesday. I mean, look at that thing, just solid all the way up into western Kentucky. The best atmospherics for tornadoes and damaging winds are down to the south, though, in some of the same places that got it last week. By the way, 75 confirmed tornadoes last week. The line keeps on going. It may calm down a little bit Wednesday night, but it's going to refire again on Thursday. 7 out of 10 chance. Remember, we had these last week, okay? Gail, you can catch all the live coverage of this severe weather outbreak all day on the Weather Channel Television Network.
All right, Jim Cantore, looking good. We know where to find you. Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Now to the fallout from Will Smith slapping Chris Rock on stage at the Oscars because of a joke. A post on the actor's Instagram reads, quote, I was out of line and I was wrong. That's after he defended the outburst during his acceptance speech for Best Actor. The Academy is now formally investigating the incident. Jerika Duncan has more.
The contrasts in Will Smith's Oscar night were stunning to audiences around the world. He had accepted his Best Actor award to a standing ovation, but 45 minutes earlier, he slapped Chris Rock after taking issue with the comedian over a joke about his wife, Jada Pinkett Smith's shaved head. She's been diagnosed with alopecia, which leads to hair loss.
Keep my wife's name out your mouth!
During his acceptance speech, Smith defended his actions, apologizing to the Academy and his fellow nominees, but not to Chris Rock. His message to the comedian came late Monday on Instagram. Jokes at my expense are part of the job, but a joke about Jada's medical condition was too much for me to bear. I would like to publicly apologize to you, Chris. NPR TV critic Eric Deggans.
I think discussions about whether he was defending his wife or defending his family are kind of beside the point. Violence is not to be tolerated.
Speaking with Gayle King earlier this month, Smith called his wife the best friend he's ever had.
We are teaching each other how to love unconditionally.
Is that hard?
It's absolutely hard, but what else would you do with your life?
Earlier Monday, the Motion Picture Academy issued a statement. We have officially started a formal review around the incident and will explore further action and consequences. However, questions remain about the timing of Smith's apology.
Is it too late? The moment has passed.
And it's not just that the moment has passed. It's that it has come after there's been a torrent of criticism.
Yet viewers witnessed Smith being celebrated on Sunday night.
What does this say about Hollywood?
The Oscar producers could have said, you don't get to give your acceptance speech. Instead, the default was to allow the powerful person to do what they did and then talk about it later.
For CBS Mornings, Jerika Duncan, New York.
Oh, boy. As you may expect, we'll have more on this story.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and host of the Money Watch podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It is a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and maybe more importantly, on your life. Follow Money Watch wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.